Okay. Good morning. So last week, Lisa talked about, she talked about not planting your vineyards. Other people have gone before you and planted vineyards, and we're eating from vineyards we didn't plan, and drinking from wells we didn't dig, and that sort of thing, and talking about Independence Day and that sort of thing. And she mentioned something in passing, which usually it's what she mentions in passing that gets stuck in my ear and works on me then. But she said that there is a difference between a believer and a disciple. And she said that, and I thought, well, no, there's not. But that's the same thing, isn't it? And so I sat there for a minute, and then she said it again. And I think she said it again because that was for me, because I wasn't listening the first time. But she said, again, there's a difference between a believer and a disciple. That's not the same thing. And so I sat there for a few more minutes, and I thought, okay, I didn't realize there was a difference, so I need to think about this for a minute. So I thought, well, then what am I? Am I a believer or am I a disciple? And so I prayed and I said, what's the difference, God? What am I? And I didn't really like what I heard, but I'll share it with you. I said, what's the difference between a believer and a disciple? I know I'm a believer. I believe in God. I believe in salvation. I believe in all that. I believe in heaven and all those things. And so I thought of the scripture, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you should be saved. You know, that's what a believer is, right? Someone that believes in the Lord. And God said, well, right, you're a believer. You're a believer for what it does for you. You believe on me and I save you. You have faith like a mustard seed and you can move mountains, and you believe and you get this, and you believe and this is promise is unlocked and that sort of thing. And if you were to ask me last week, why do you believe in God? I would have said, well, because God's blessed me my whole life, and because, you know, I know his promises are real and he's worked in my life and he's done so many things for me and he's been a blessing to me. And because it gives me peace in my life and it gives me joy and it gives me and me and me and me and me. And then I thought, okay, well then what's a disciple? Am I a disciple? What is that? What's the difference? And God said, well, a believer, you believe for what it does for you. A disciple, it's what it does for me, God. It's what it does for God. And so that kind of gut checked me a little bit. And I don't really think that I was really in where I was supposed to be in those categories at that moment. And I think that we all go through those moments in our lives and those times and differences in our lives where we're really gung-ho and we're, you know, we're on it and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then there's other times when we're selfish. And it's what's in it for me. And God's been dealing with me about things over the past year, and I realized when she said that my focus was wrong. And if I had been looking in from the right perspective, then I would have seen things in a different light. And so I want to share some things with you. And so I asked God then, okay, then make me a disciple. I want to be a disciple. So, you know, when I pray for myself and I pray for other people. I mean, I'm not completely self-centered. You know, I pray for others. But how often am I praying and saying, God, what do you want? Like, what's in it for you? Not what's in it for me or what's in it for grandma or what's in it for my mom or whoever I'm praying for. What's in it for you? Let me see that. Let me pray for that. That's where I want to be. And so, okay, let me tone it down here because I'm going to start crying on you. I'm not going to help anybody. So, okay, so that's kind of where I've been for the last week. So obviously I have like a week's experience with this, so, you know, bear with me, I'm not an expert. Okay, so I hate video games, okay? My kids and I, it's a constant struggle. I brought in the video game system to get rid of something else, and it was like a reward, and now I'm stuck with this thing. And so I hate video games, okay? Sorry, Sean, I know that probably tears you up, and, you know, some other guys. But this doesn't make me very, like, popular with my kids, and there's always a, like, you know, how much time can we have on our Kindles or how much time can we have for video games, that kind of thing. So I'm getting to a point here, bear with me. So recently, though, I learned something from a video game. This past week, my kids were playing this game, and it's called Marvel Lego Avengers or something, Do you guys, okay, Trish knows. Okay, so, okay. You're going to have to correct my superhero stuff, Sean, because I'm new. My kids are teaching me this stuff. Brian never was into superheroes, and so I just don't know him. Okay, so they're playing a Lego game. It's called Marvel Avengers. And there's all these little minifigures, and you're like a minifigure is like a little Lego guy. And so you're a little minifigure, and you live in New York City, and it's a team thing, so that's nice. And it's a problem-solving thing, so I let them have a little extra time on that because it's not mindless. They have to solve a problem. They have a mission, okay? And they have to use teamwork in order to complete the mission. Okay, so they're playing this game, and the whole point of this is they are superheroes. They have this talent, okay, and they have their superpowers, and they have to go off and find their mission. And if they're having trouble finding their mission and it's taking too long, there's this little blue glowing guy on the screen that they can follow as kind of like a hint, follow me, and he'll take them, and then that they'll kind of point out like this is where you're supposed to be in the city, and then they can do their mission, okay? And then they fight crime and save the day, okay? So I walk in with my coffee because it's early, and Jackson knows that if he wakes up before mommy, he's figured out how to turn on the PS3 and he'll play video games until I wake up. And then he can get an extra time. So I'm in with my coffee and it's early and I sit down and they're playing this game. And I've played it with them before too, so I get the gist. And so I say, okay, what's your mission? And Charlotte says, oh no, we're not gonna do that. And I said, okay, now remember, this is the whole point. You find the mission, you save the day, and then you can level up and get more superpowers and be different superheroes. And so she says, we're not going to do that today. We're just playing around. And I'm like, okay, Jax, who are you? Because I don't know any of these people. I know Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, but that's about, my forte when it comes to superheroes. So he says, I'm Iceman. Is that right? Okay, I'm Iceman. And so he's Iceman, and he can make ice. And he's on some lake, I don't know if he's in Central Park or where he is. He's somewhere in New York where there's water. Maybe he's where the bay is or Battery Park or somewhere. But there's water, and he's trying to freeze it, okay? So I said, so what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to figure out if I can freeze the whole lake or if I can just make an ice bridge to get across it. I'm just playing with my ice. And I said, okay. And Charlotte is this cool-looking girl superhero, and I said, well, she's cool. Who's that? And she says, Storm. Yeah, Storm. Okay. And so Storm is riding on a tornado. And I'm like, well, she seems tough. What does she do? I'm not really sure yet. I think she can go through fire and she can ride around on tornadoes. And so that seems really random to me. And I said, well, let's figure out how Storm and Iceman are going to save the day. Let's do the mission. No, that's okay. I'm just going to ride around in the park and see what I can get over with my tornado. And I'm like, okay, so I'm like, well, that seems really pointless. And so then I put on my mom voice and I say, well, you only have 10 more minutes left of time on your video games, and then we're, And so you don't have unlimited time. If you haven't accomplished anything, I'm still going to turn it off. Yeah, okay. So it's irking me because I'm very, driven and goal-focused, So I'm sitting there with my coffee and it's bugging me. They're just playing around. And I'm like, I'll help you. Are you sure you don't want that? If you follow the little guy, he'll tell you where to go. And they're like, no, it's okay. It was hard. It's too hard. We tried it yesterday. We don't want to do it. It's too hard. And so I'm like, well, isn't that the whole point? It's really bugging me. And so God spoke to me in that moment and said, Aaron, this is how a lot of Christians are. And I thought, okay. And I'm drinking my coffee and just being quiet now. Okay, it's time for me to listen and put away my mom voice. And so I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I wrote it down. This is how a lot of Christians live. They're walking around with amazing gifts and talents, and they're filled with my power. There are cities out there that are in desperate need of saving, and they're just wandering around in their own little world. And if they follow the Holy Spirit, the little blue glowing guy, He will guide them and show them where they're needed. And I'll orchestrate it so that the very gifts and talents that I've given them and deposited in them, that's the exact thing that they need in that situation. Glory. And so they have what they need, and I will show them where to go. and I've orchestrated it to be just like a puzzle, so it'll all fit together. They just have to be willing and do it, even when it's hard. And so the Bible says that we have talent. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve one another. If anyone speaks, he should speak as one conveying the words of God. If anyone serves, he should serve with the strength God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Again, this isn't about what we're going to get out of it. This is supposed to be for the glory of God. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. This is from Romans 12, 6 through 8. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So whatever your talent is, God can use it for his glory. Some of these superheroes, to me, have really dumb talents. I don't understand why. If I'm creating a superhero, and I feel like I'm, you know, a fairly creative person, if I'm creating a superhero, like, I probably would not come up with Iceman. It just seems kind of generic, and, like, he just makes ice. Like, we have freezers. Like, that seems, like, really, doesn't that seem kind of like a dumb superpower? Okay, so, anyway, sorry, Marvel writers, but, like, okay, so, to me, making water into ice and riding tornadoes seems very random, but every time they play this game, they get in there, they get a superhero, and if they level up, they get excited because then they get new superheroes they haven't had before, and so they get new powers and that sort of thing. But there's always a mission that's orchestrated to fit those particular superheroes. So even if it's Sandman, which again, like, come on, Marvel. Sandman, like, Dad probably likes Sandman. He's the only one. I hear the minors, I know. Okay, so you're superheroes too. So, but there's always a mission orchestrated to fit that particular superhero on any given level. And that's the way it is with God in our everyday lives. He just wants willing vessels. So if you have a desire to serve, he's going to use what he's deposited in you. I read this article, and I told my parents about it. And I tell you guys every time I get up here, I'm a big nerd. And again, so this is what I do. I read NASA articles because, I know. Because that's what I do. It's okay. God made me this way. Give me a break. And so I read this NASA article that I thought was awesome. And it's about this woman. She was hired by NASA, okay, which to me is like the Holy Grail, like NASA. Oh, they're like rock stars in my eyes, okay? So this lady was hired by NASA, and she is a seamstress, okay? So her job prior to NASA rock star status was to make suits, like custom suits for businessmen, okay? And so she got this job at NASA because they were putting these satellites and different things out in space and around the International Space Station. And so they're using Kevlar plates to protect them, because if you're going to spend millions of dollars customizing something and sending it to outer space, you don't want a big rock to fly into it and break it. So they're putting Kevlar, which a woman invented, by the way. That's another cool story. But anyway, so they're making these Kevlar plates, and they're customizing them so they fit perfectly, and something has to hold the Kevlar to the satellite, and it has to be, like, tight and not interact with the radio waves and all that good stuff. So they put this advertisement out that they're hiring someone that makes patterns, that knows how to make patterns for sewing. So this lady that was making men's suits is now working for NASA because she knows how to make patterns and she knows how to fit things perfectly around. So she's doing these patterns now, sewing patterns, and putting them on the stuff that's going to into space, like, and the rockets and all the cool stuff, right? So she's, and so I know that that's not, like, church-related, but it's something how you have a talent, and you may not realize why you have that talent, but cultivate that. Because there's a purpose for that, and there's use for that. Even if it seems something as dumb as Iceman. You know what I mean? Like, there's something in that. There's substance in that.
Here.
Yes.
Can I just add?
Yes, please.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. You know, a lot of times we look at our ministries as things that we do inside this building, or even things that we do from this building into our community or whatever. And that's good, but our ministry is no less effective in our workplaces.
Right.
So if, you know, what if you're a guy who can make animal balloons?
Right. Right.
You know, what if you have ADHD? I mean, I've talked to a kid recently. He has ADHD, and he said, what can God ever do with me? He can make you a youth pastor, because you need to have some activity to be in children's ministry. So, you know, whatever your thing is, whatever your talent is, and even if you don't know what your talent is, you know, there's something that you have inside of you that you may not ever use it in this building, ever. But you may use it on your job. That's a ministry, be an example in this day.
Yeah.
So all of those things, so, you know, you may not think that Iceman is very important, but if you are
on fire.
If you're needing to get across a lake, and you can do it quickly, your ice might come in handy,
yeah, right?
So, you know, I thought a lot about superheroes, you know, for obvious reasons, but it's, you know, we all, like Aaron said, we all have something inside of us that is a talent, and it's just so huge that you may not think that your talent is anything, but, you know, it is. You know, being a master yard sailor like Tam, that's a talent. That's incredible. God, you know, and I could go around the room and name every single person. There's something inside of you that can be a ministry to somebody around you, and it may not ever be in this building, and it may not ever be a ministry that flows out of this building in that type of way, but it can be on your job.
When we're ministering.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was trying to get this job that I just started
think, again, going back to the difference between just believing it and being a disciple for it, I think God had a purpose for you here at camp. And so because it was his purpose and he needed that, then you got what you wanted too. And so it all works out.
Yeah,
like, that's nice.
Yeah. How we look at things.
Absolutely.
Does do these things. But our mentality
Jeremiah 1:4-10 is the call of Jeremiah. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you."
Yes.
Another translation says, "I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart." This isn't just Jeremiah. "I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I don't know how to speak. I'm too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you, and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I put words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." I'm going to pause because of what Grandma said and because of what Arlene said and because of what God said to me yesterday. And I just want to pause for a second and pray for Mona. Is that okay?
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. shift, he said. Now, I took it personally because I'm expecting God to do some things for me. But I believe it can apply to every one of us.
Yes.
God is going to do some shifting. He's going to shake us up a little bit so that we will be able to be more sensitive and hear the voice of God instead of thinking, well, it's probably just me, so I'm not going to say anything. Now, a lot of times, that is what God's really saying.
Yes.
And the enemy's trying to block it to keep you from saying it. But he just keeps speaking the word shift to me. So whatever that means, it can apply to every one of us. But I'm expecting.
Amen.
I'm expecting.
I am too.
Glory.
When she said that word shift, you know, like Bishop Huskins had a shift conference, and there's different things that happened in the past several years. But what I thought about when I saw shift today is not just a shifting from one place to another, but what I saw was a gear shift in a car. And so when you shift gears in a car, you go faster. You know, you don't start out at fifth gear. And what I feel like the Lord's saying in that, maybe just to me, but we have to move to a new place. And that's going to take a shift in us that propels us to that place. You know, we kind of rev to the end of how far that gear your end's going to go. And we have to shift to the next gear to get to a new place. You know, there's some people may be thinking, well, I've seen everything that I ever need to see. I've heard every word that I ever need to hear. But if that's the case, or if you feel like that's the case, then our perspective has to change.
Yes.
Because if we've heard everything, then, and you truly have, which I'm sure that you haven't, then we need to hear things differently. We need to see things differently. We need to act out of those things differently than maybe what we have before. And also, the hearing of it doesn't change anything. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help other people if we only hear the word. But we do have to act the word.
Hallelujah.
I want to say, yesterday, Andy was helping me with that into a house. And that's the same thing the sisters told me was the Holy Ghost said, shift gears. And that's all he said. And I couldn't understand what he said, but after I have prayed and went over my mind over and over and over again, because the Holy Ghost has always led me to pray for people if any issues or anything came up. Yesterday, this incident came up. The Holy Ghost just simply said, shift gears. And I didn't really at that point in time understand what the Holy Ghost was saying, because I know my God's able to do all things.
Amen.
And when we walk in that realm, as you have already teaching to us even this morning, Jesus believed, but he had to be disciplined by Father. And Father, he never done anything except first he saw his Father do it. He never spoke anything without hearing his Father speak. And I think that's where God, for my own self, is I'm realizing is I'm shifting gears. God, and in the process of that shifting gears, you got a moment before you hit that second or third or fourth gear that you're in a limbo. And God's declaring to us is that we are the disciples. We are the believers of God with the authority and power of the disciple to honor our Father who's already gave to us the power through the Holy Ghost, that little bitty green man or blue man. See, that he's already gave us that position as sons and daughters of God. This is what years ago the Holy Ghost showed me, and I have to say this body is a glorious body. Every person in here, I'm seeing the power of the Holy Ghost. You have been under the teaching of the Holy Ghost through the men and women of God, and now I'm seeing mature sons and daughters of God that are relating through the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in their walks of life. So I can say to this part of the body of Christ, you are literally being disciplined by the power of God, by the authority and power of God. For I watched this young lady when she was a baby. Now here she is, moving by the authority and power. I've seen some of these young ladies.
That segues. We have superhuman power. That's where I was going. No, I like when they preach it for me. It makes it easier. Plus, it makes me feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay, so confirmation. Luke 24:49 in the New Living Translation says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." So we have superhuman powers. We're like the superheroes. And like you said, change gears. What I keep thinking when I was studying this and praying about this and meditating was, level up, you know, like we gotta level up to the next level, you know, in the game, when they play the game, you know, if they've completed the mission that God gave them, then he's gonna level up. You know, Jackson saves the day with Iceman, and Charlotte gets in there with Storm, and they save whatever it is in that part of the city, then they level up, and they're endued with new powers. And so they gain access to new things, and they can unlock more. They can unlock more situations, and really bring salvation to the city. Matthew 28:16 in the NIV is the Great Commission. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told him to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So Batman has the, what is that called, the bat signal? Okay, the bat signal, and, you know, Superman, they know him because he's got the S. And so how are people going to know who we are? How are they going to know who the superheroes are, right? So John 13:34-35 NIV says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So that's how they are supposed to know. So, you know, I think it was a Facing the Giants quote, something. I read something one time, and they said, you know, you'll know it by the smell. And they were talking about football players and how that stinks and stuff. And Facing the Giants. And they were, thank you. His smell reflects his attitude. I loved that. Thank you, because I couldn't remember how to put it in. Thank you. So I love that. You know, like, what do you smell like? Do you smell sweet? Because the Bible says, this, you know, we should be a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Or do you just stink? You know, does your attitude stink? And it's your smell is a reflection of your heart. And so, holy cow, get on Facebook. And, like, what's going on in America these days? What do we smell like? And so everybody's looking for a hero. Are we looking and saying, well, I believe God can fix this. I hope God steps in. I hope God's going to save our nation. I hope God's going to bring back unity. And I hope that God's going to help the people in southern West Virginia. And I hope that he's going to help these issues with Black Lives Matter and police officers and Blue Lives Matter and everybody's lives matter and, you know. Okay, so are we just going to believe that something's going to happen, or are we going to be disciples?
Amen.
So step up. There's a difference between believing, and there's a difference between being a disciple. And another difference is you believe it can happen, or you do it yourself. Because the Bible says that he has given us the power to do it, and he says, even more than I've done, so will you do also. You know, you'll do greater than these things, will ye do. You know, that's what he said to his disciples. And so if we're disciples, we need to step up. Ephesians 5:2 says, "Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that." You know, I saw a picture, Hannah posted it on Facebook, of all these people surrounding a baby stroller. you know, during the sniper shootings and everything. And they were all around this baby stroller, and who cares if the baby was white or black or Asian or what, I don't know. Doesn't matter, because it was completely covered. Because when the shots were fired, people rushed to that baby stroller, and they all stood in a shield around it and put their lives on the line to make sure that baby isn't going to get hurt. And so who cares what color the baby was? I don't know. You can't tell in the picture because they're surrounded by love. And so that's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the shield, like Captain America, you know, and we're supposed to be that force and that power, because God's given us that responsibility. God's not just going to step in and save the day. I mean, he will, but he needs a vessel. And so if you're looking around for a superhero, then jump in the phone booth. You know, that's the point. Like, we're supposed, that's our job. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Level up. Shift gears. Okay. So let's just take a minute, because I'm getting all discombobulated and I've got all these thoughts. So let's just take a minute and pray. And so if you're not a believer, okay, like, let's do that. Okay, let's take care of that. If that's something that you're interested in and you want to be a believer, then let's take a minute to pray. Lord, if there's someone in here today that wants a part of what's going on here and what we have, and they see something because they've smelled something sweet, or they've seen something in me or the people around them, and they've said, you know, I know that there's something out there and I'm craving it and I'm not really sure what it is, but I think this might be it. Lord Jesus, please fill our lives and fill our hearts and save us, make us believers. And if you want to level up and you want to be more than a believer and you want to be a disciple, and you want to do this not just for what you can get out of it, which is, he's going to give it to you either way. You still get the good stuff. But if you want your heart to be shifted, if you want to kind of change gears and have a new perspective and level up to the point of, God, I'm thankful for what you've done for me, but I want to do something for you. Just make me a disciple. I can't be a disciple. I can't bring in disciples and disciple others until you've made me a disciple. Work on me. Not for me, but for you. Help me, Lord. You know, that when I pray, I'm praying for your will and what you want and how this is going to glorify you. You know, I'm just going to say it. I want healing for Mana, because I want the miracle in her that's going to save everybody else from this awful thing, too. I want to see her healed, because I don't want anybody to deal with this anymore. Not just her, but anyone. I want the miracle cure in her. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And so I want that power to flow. That superhuman power.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
I want, Lord, when I fast, that I'm not fasting because I want you to give me wisdom, or I want you to give me understanding, or I want you to give me peace, or protection, and I want all those things, but I want to fast because I just want to humble myself, Lord. I just want to honor you in that. Lord, show me where my mission is. Help me to look around for the little blue glowing guy. Show me where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do and what I'm supposed to say, and please use my talent to unlock that. Lord, I feel like you put a call on my life, and I think you've called me to be a mom. I think that's the biggest call I've got. And to be a wife, but to be a mother.
Hallelujah.
And I want to do what I'm supposed to do and say what I'm supposed to do and say what I'm supposed to say. And sometimes I'm not good at it. So help me to get out of the way and work on my children. Help us all, Lord, to see what our calling is and make that clear to us. You know, there's people in here that don't really know what they're supposed to be doing, and they don't really know what their calling is. Make that clear so that we can be more effective for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
It says, "Dear God, help me to put aside the things that are breaking my heart to pray about the things that break yours."
Anybody else? Okay, I've cried enough. I'm done.